The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Multiple billions of people around the world believe they have an immortal soul. Do they? Do you? How many people have lived in agony, thinking that their relative's soul was being tormented in the flames of hell because they supposedly had an immortal soul? My friends, you need to know the truth from the Bible. Do you have an immortal soul? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames reveals the truth about the immortal soul. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. Do all human beings have an immortal soul? Do you have an immortal soul? Billions of people believe they do. It's extremely important to know, because if it is true, then something must happen to your soul immediately upon death. Based on that belief, one must logically conclude that the soul of an innocent child must go somewhere at death. Where does it go? Theologians must find a place for it, even if the Bible teaches otherwise. A sinner's soul must go somewhere. Obviously, according to popular belief, it goes into an ever-burning hellfire. But is that what the Bible teaches? We'll answer that question later in the program. There are quite a variety of beliefs about the human soul. The Encyclopedia Britannica, under the article Soul, states this, quote, "Varying conceptions of the nature of the soul and its relation to the body lead to varying views of the afterlife. Often the soul is regarded as so indissolubly connected with the body that it too ceases on death, or at most leads an attenuated, empty, shadowing existence, for example, among the ancient Hebrews and Greeks. Or the soul is viewed as a pure and eternal element, sometimes as pre-existing in the body, that attains its full and perfect state only after separation from the body at death, for example, Plato or Plotinus. Also, the soul is believed to become reincarnated in successive bodily existences, a recurrent cycle from which release may be obtained through moral, intellectual, or spiritual perfection, for example, among the Orphics, Hindus, and Buddhists. Or the souls of the dead are held to rejoin their bodies on a final day when all the bodies will be resurrected, for example, among the Talmudic Jews and the Christians." End of quote. Just which of these beliefs is correct and true, if any of them? One of the most popular beliefs is that the soul, quote, attains its full and perfect state only after separation from the body at death, end of quote. As the Encyclopedia Britannica states, Plato, for example, emphasized the separable soul that exists in a pure state only when released from its prison house in the body, end of quote. Millions of professing Christians believe that the souls of sinners will go to an ever-burning hellfire to suffer the torment of flames forever. Now, just where did the concept of souls suffering in fire come from? Some ideas came from pre-Christian concepts, but the common idea of hell was popularized in the famous poem by Dante Alighieri, La Divina Commedia, or The Divine Comedy. It was written between 302 and 1321, when Alighieri died. His poem consists of three parts, Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, or Hell, Purgatory, and Paradise. The poet Virgil guides Dante on his journey through hell. At the entrance to hell is the foreboding sign, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." Virgil tells Dante about his tour of hell, quote, "I'll be your guide, and you will follow me, and I will lead you through a world of pain, where dead souls writhe in endless agony, and clamor as they cry to die again." Dante continues his journey through the various compartments of hell, and writes, quote, "So in the ditch, far down below the arch on which we stood, there bubbled viscous pitch. I only saw the bubbles rise and burst, the huge mass heave, contract, heave, and contract repeatedly. End of quote. Dante then sees someone consigned to hell. The sinner plunged into the pitch. They pricked the sinner with 100 prongs. End of quote. Dante wrote his La Divina Commedia as an allegory to teach certain principles and lessons. The content also reflects politics and history of Dante's contemporary Italy. Let's understand, his poem is not a literal reflection of the Bible's teaching on hell. But many have come to mistakenly believe the images painted by Dante in his poem. They believe them to be literal. My friends, you need to study the Bible to find out whether such a teaching is true or not. How do we come to believe what we believe? Most of us absorb the beliefs of our parents or our community without much study. We just assume that our culture or our religion knew the truth. Relatively few have independently questioned, investigated, or proved their own religious beliefs. And yet the Bible tells us, test all things, hold fast what is good. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Have you tested your religion? And what was your source of truth with which to test your religion? Was it your own church? You need an independent source to test your beliefs. If you've not already examined the Bible as your standard of belief, you need to. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what does the Bible teach about the soul? What is it? Is it immortal? Turn in your Bible to Genesis 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the Authorized King James Version. Notice that it does not say man has a soul inside his body. Man became a living soul. The Hebrew word translated into the English word soul is nephesh. One meaning of nephesh is breathing creature. It can also be translated body or beast. In fact, notice that a nephesh or soul can be dead. Numbers 19 and verse 13. Whosoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. Again, the Hebrew word for body is nephesh. Here in Numbers 19, verse 13, is a dead nephesh, a dead soul. Here is very strong evidence that souls can die. They are not immortal, and we'll see much more evidence from the Bible. Let's briefly review Genesis 2 and verse 7 in the New King James Version. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Again, we see that the Bible uses the word nephesh to refer to an air-breathing creature, in this case, a human being. But the Bible also uses the word nephesh to denote an animal. Genesis 1 and verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. Perhaps you're saying, well, I need to see more evidence. What does the New Testament say about souls? And what did Jesus himself say? Turn in your Bible to Matthew 10, verse 28. Here Jesus is speaking. Matthew 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, or Gehenna fire. Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe what Jesus said? God is able to destroy, yes, destroy, both soul and body in hell or Gehenna, as it is in the original Greek. Souls can be destroyed. Read it in your own Bible. If we don't have immortal souls, is there a spiritual essence in the human mind? We'll answer that question in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled The Truth About the Immortal Soul. Some religions teach that everyone has pre-existed and continue to live multiple lifetimes in different life forms by multiple reincarnations. Is that true? What does the Bible really teach? This free audio tape will give you the answers, and you'll have the opportunity to review the quotes and biblical references we've given you on this program in your own time and at your own convenience. There's no cost or obligation. You can also order the tape on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. You need the truth to the answers of these vital questions. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape entitled The Truth About the Immortal Soul.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that the Bible uses the word soul to denote an air-breathing creature, whether it be a human or an animal. Jesus also said that we are to fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, or in Gehenna. Now, listen to this description of the word soul as used in the New Testament. The Holman Bible Dictionary states, quote, "In the New Testament, the term psyche, or the Greek word psuche, retreats behind the ideas of body, flesh, spirit to characterize human existence. In the Bible, a person is a unity. Body and soul or spirit are not opposite terms, but rather terms which supplement one another to describe aspects of the inseparable whole person." End of quote. Let's understand one important truth. We do not already have immortality. It is a gift from God. Just read Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Note that the Scripture does not state the wages of sin is immortal life in hellfire. The wages of sin is not immortal life, but death, the absence of life. If you already have an immortal soul, if you already have eternal life, then you don't need it as a gift from God. But, my friends, you need the gift of eternal life because you are not born with it. It's a wonderful gift through our living Savior, Jesus Christ. God gives an individual the gift of the Holy Spirit, something with which you are not born after repentance and baptism. The Apostle Peter made that very plain on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit enters our mind and combines not with an immortal soul, but with the human spirit called in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, the spirit in man. We then become a begotten child of God, later to be born into the kingdom of God at the resurrection. The spirit in man, combined with a human brain, constitutes human mind. Did you know that you actually have a spirit component to your brain? Some scientists have accurately analyzed the difference between human brains and animal brains, such as in chimpanzees or dolphins. They've described marginal differences in size and structure, but they've also seen that the output of the human mind is vastly superior to that of animals. That output cannot be accounted for by physical elements only. It can only be explained by the spirit in man. Yes, there is a spirit in man, not an immortal soul. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" Animals cannot know the things of a man because they do not have the spirit of man. Notice also that the unconverted mind cannot know deep spiritual truths. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." My friends, you need the Holy Spirit to understand the things of God. Frankly, you need to repent and be baptized if you haven't done so already. That's what your Bible plainly says. Remember when the Apostle Paul spoke to the Greeks in Athens? Paul described the Creator God who created all living creatures. Let's read that in Acts 17 and verse 27. He said that the nations should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Notice 2 points from Paul's exhortation to the Greeks. First, God commands all men everywhere to repent. One must repent of sin. And what is sin? 1 John 3:4 defines sin as the transgression of the law. So God commands all men everywhere to repent. Then one can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is limited. He has the Spirit in man, the human spirit, but he does not have God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Again, my friends, you need God's Holy Spirit to be whole and complete. Now, the second point the Apostle Paul brought out to the Greek Athenians was the assurance we have from Christ's resurrection. Now, if you have an immortal soul, if you go to heaven when you die, what is the need of the resurrection? Some of the Athenians mocked the Apostle Paul, Acts 17 and verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." The Apostle Paul earnestly desired the resurrection more than anything. Notice what he said in Philippians 3 in verse 10. He desired an intimate relationship with Christ. Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We should all look forward to the resurrection when Christ returns. What kind of resurrection body will we have? Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. The Apostle Paul describes a dramatic transformation that takes place at the last trumpet announcing the return of Christ. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Most professing Christians are familiar with the majestic music of Handel's Messiah. In part of this oratorio, we hear these inspiring words sung from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes, there will be victory over death at the last trumpet. And in the same verse we see that this mortal must put on immortality. But why should there be a need for immortality if we humans already have an immortal soul? The Bible truth reveals that souls are not immortal. A soul can die. For instance, the prophet Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, the soul who sins shall die. Yes, the soul that sins shall die. This agrees with Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, the wages of sin is not life, but death. Simple D-E-A-T-H. Now, let's see what Jesus said in the most famous verse in the Bible. It's called the golden verse, or the most precious verse, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we see the contrast between life and death. On the one hand, everlasting life. On the other hand, perishing. To perish means to be destroyed or come to nothing. Jesus came that we might not perish or be dead for eternity. He came that we might not be destroyed forever or lose our life forever. Thank God for His true plan of salvation. His Word, the Bible, gives us the assurance of the resurrection from the dead. But what happens when you die? We'll answer that question in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, The Truth About the Immortal Soul. There are so many confusing beliefs about the soul. Is it really immortal? What happens at death? This free audio tape will answer those questions and help you in your study of the Bible. And you'll have the opportunity to review the quotes and biblical references we've given you in your own time and at your own convenience. There's no cost or obligation. You can also order the tape on our website at tomorrowsworld.org. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape entitled, The Truth About the Immortal Soul.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
We've seen that the soul can die, and that Christians seek, most importantly, the resurrection, and that takes place when Christ returns. We saw that from the Scriptures that we are mortal. We do not already have immortality. It is a gift God gives us at the resurrection. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." But if we do not have immortal souls, what happens when we die? My friends, as shocking as it may sound, the Bible teaches that when one dies, he or she remains dead until the resurrection. The Apostle Paul never speaks of them as being alive in heaven or hell. The Holman Bible states this, quote, "The soul does not represent a divine, immortal, undying part of the human being after death, as the Greeks often thought. Paul thus avoids the word soul in connection with eternal life," end of quote. How does he refer to the dead? In 1 Thessalonians 4:14, he refers to deceased Christians as those who sleep in Jesus. Sleep is used here as a metaphor for death. Jesus himself also used that metaphor. Let's examine that in John the 11th chapter. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha of the town of Bethany, was ill. But he died before Jesus arrived. John 11 and verse 11. Jesus told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Lazarus had died from a sickness. Did he go to heaven at the moment of death? If he did, then Jesus would have had to command Lazarus to give up his new spiritual glory and come back to a mundane physical life. That doesn't make sense. Lazarus did not go up to heaven. Neither did he go to the mythical, ever-burning hell. Lazarus was dead. Jesus said so. After the stone was removed from the entrance to the tomb, Jesus cried out to the dead man, Lazarus. John 11, verse 43. He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Jesus referred to Lazarus' death as a sleep. This is not what some religions call soul sleeping. All human beings must wait in the grave until the resurrection. Now, let's briefly summarize. When God created human beings, man became a living soul, as it tells us in Genesis 2:7, or man became a living being. In other words, man does not have a soul, he is a soul. The truth is that God created human beings distinct from animals, in that we have what the Bible calls the spirit in man. This spirit enables the brain to have mind power, qualitative thinking, and character, which animals cannot have. But every individual is still incomplete. He or she needs God's Holy Spirit to understand the deep things of God, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:10. You need God's Spirit, and you need to take action. Let's understand, there is a final judgment. The incorrigibly wicked will be burned up in a lake of fire, as it tells us in Revelation 20 and verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death from which there will be no resurrection. As Jesus said, we are to fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, or Gehenna fire. The truth is, no one has an immortal soul. God grants us immortality at the resurrection. Let's all look forward to the resurrection. God's truth is comforting. You need to study more diligently to learn that truth and come to know the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Be sure to join us every week on Tomorrow's World. We want to help you understand the answers to the most important questions of life. The truth of the Bible is awe-inspiring and exciting. Dr. Meredith and I will be discussing Bible prophecy, principles of successful living, and the great plan and purpose the Creator has for all of us. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org.